जय राधा माधवा, जय कुंज बिहारी, जय कुंज बिहारी, राज राधा माधवा, जय कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा, जय कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन भालावा, गिरिभर धारी, गोपी जन भालावा, गिरिभर धारी, गोपी जन भालावा, गिरिभर धारी, गोपी जन भालावा, गिरिभर धारी। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना, जामुना तीरा बन चारी, जमुना तीरा बन चारी, जय राधा माधवा, जय कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा, जय कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन भलाभा, जय गिरिभर धारी, जय गिरिभर धारी, गोपी जन भलाभा, जय गिरिभर धारी, जय गिरिभर धारी, यशोदा नंदन जय ब्रज जन रंजन, जय ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन जय ब्रज जन रंजन, Jaya Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jai Kunja Bihari.
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraj Agacharya Stotara Sata Shishri Madhis Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraj Agacharya Stotara Sata Shishri Madhis Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. ISKCON FOUNDER ACHARYA SHILA PRABHUPADA KI KARANTARASHIMAM BHAGAVATAM KI NITAI GAURA PREMANANDI. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to Shishi Guru Vanshi Gauranga. OM NAMO BHAGAVATE VASUDEVAYA. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creation, Chapter 6, The Demigods and Demons Declares a Truce. Text 10 and 11. I read number 10 and then we read 11 responsively. Twajagra asit twaji madhyat asit twaji anta asit idam atmatantre twam adir anto jagato sya madhyam gatashyami Gatashyamritsneva para parasmat. Translation. My dear Lord, who are always fully independent, this entire cosmic manifestation arises from you, rests upon you, and ends in you. Your Lordship is the beginning, sustenance, and end of everything, like the earth, which is the cause of an earthen pot, which supports the pot, and to which the pot, when broken, finally returns. Text number 11. Twam majayat masrajaya swedyam. Nirmaya Vishwantana Nupravishta Pashyanti Yukta Manasa Manishino Guna Vyabhaje Pyagunam Pipashchita Twamayat Twamaya Yatma Srajaya Swedyam. Swedyam
Nirmaya Vishwantananu Pravishta Pasyanti Yukta Manasa Manaishino Guna Vyabhaje Pyagunam Vipaschita Tvam Maya Yatma Srayaya Swadyedam Nirmaya Vishwantananu Pravishtaha Pashanti Yukta Manasa Manishino Guna Vyabhaje Pyagunam Vipaschita Pasyanti yukta manasa manishino Tvam, your lordship, mayaya, by your eternal energy, atma asraya, Atma Asrayaya, whose existence is under your shelter, Swaya, emanated from yourself, Idam, this, Nirmaya, for the sake of creating, Vishwam, the entire universe, Tat, into it, Anuprashvitaha, you enter. Pashyanti, they see. Yuktaha, persons in touch with you. Manasa, by an elevated mind. Manishinaha, people with advanced consciousness. Guna, of material qualities, Vyavaje, in the transformation, Api, Odo, Agunam, still untouched by the material qualities, Vipashtitaha, those who are fully aware of the truth of Shastra, translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Supreme, You are independent in Yourself and do not take help from others. Through Your own potency, You create this cosmic manifestation and enter into it. Those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, who are fully in knowledge of the authoritative Shastra, and who, through the practice of Bhakti Yoga, are cleansed of all material contamination, can see with clear minds that although You exist within the transformation of the material qualities, Your presence is untouched by these qualities. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:10, Mayadyakshena prakriti sujate saccharacharam hetu nanena kunteya jagat viparya varptate. Quote, this material nature working under my direction, O son of Kunti, is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By this rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. End of quote. The material energy creates, maintains, and devastates the entire cosmic manifestation because of the direction given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who entered this universe as Garbhodakshay Vishnu, but is untouched by the material qualities. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord refers to Maya, the external energy, which creates this material world as Mama Maya, my energy. Because this energy works under the full control of the Lord. These facts can be realized only by those who are well versed in Vedic knowledge and advanced in Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Shatarine Bancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So, this is a very important and not very simple to understand truth of being able to understand the personality of Godhead, and the point is constantly throughout the scriptures, throughout the Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita, is constantly put forward that is the essence almost of realizing the absolute truth. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the chapter of Transcendental Knowledge, the fourth chapter, that to become free from this material creation, one have to understand that his activities and his appearance in this world is divine. And this is specific. I mean, we can understand, you know, there is an absolute truth. For those who have, you know, some common sense, you can understand that there is the absolute truth. There's something greater than us. There's something from which everything emanates and things are controlled. There's a supreme intelligence there. Now, one can understand that there is a world that is transcendental, and one can understand what we experience in this material world, this material creation. And By common sense also we can understand that there is, you know, there is a difference. So those things are not so difficult to understand, but with common sense you can actually come to a conclusion that there is a difference between matter and spirit. And but something that is very, very difficult to understand is when the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself or enters into this material world. That part is very difficult for conditioned souls. And although for us who are being favored by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the disciplic succession, you know, you see, oh, this is just very clear. It's common sense. It's all perfectly understandable. However, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita expresses, you know, it's not simple. It's, in general, people have a very difficult time to understand this. And through the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's also expressed like that. There's a one part of the... either through prayers, when great personalities pray, just like now, Lord Brahma and the demigods are praying to the Lord and expressing this, that he says, through your own potency, you create this cosmic manifestation and enter into it. Only those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, who are completely cleansed of all material contaminations, can see with a clear mind this truth. I can understand it. So, very advanced personalities can understand this fact clearly. Clearly. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, after this verse, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti, that fools deride him. Abhayananti madmudha tanusin, what is it? Manusin tanun ashrita. That fools deride him when he performed his human-like activities. Manusin. He performed human-like activities and it completely bewilders people to understand, you know, how the absolute truth is engaged in the material world. How the absolute truth has a form. How the absolute truth acts in the material world. You know, we just heard the Supreme Lord appear, you know, and then kill a crocodile, you know, and save a king of elephants. That's an activity in the material world. It's a marvelous activity, you know, but it's an activity in the material world. You know, he's just killing a crocodile. And or Krishna acting like a baby and crying to his mother to feed him and crawling like that and playing with cows and playing with friends and monkeys. So to understand that is baffling completely to a common person, someone who is devoid of transcendental knowledge. So Krishna says that when he comes to this material world, he comes by his own internal potency. By his own internal potency he manifests. So his internal potency is his spiritual potency. So he has, it is explained that Krishna has unlimited potencies. And these unlimited potencies are divided into two. His superior and his inferior. Well, actually, sorry, into three. superior, inferior, actually no, into two. I'm sorry, into two. It's in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter. Parashakti or Bahiranga Shakti and Antaranga Shakti. His internal potency is in his external potency. And in his internal potency, there is a living entities. We are part of that superior energy. However, there is more divisions like that. But there's a spiritual potency, there's a material potency, or the external potency. When the Lord comes into the world, he manifests himself through his internal potency. He says that in the Bhagavad Gita. What is the verse? He says, Atma Mayaya. That, paraphrasing as I remember, that although he is a supreme controller, he's a lord of everything, he comes to this material manifestation, this material world, time and time again. And he manifests himself, and he says, although I'm unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, I appear again and again in this material world through my Sambhavami Mamayaya, I think it says, by my own internal potency. So, when the Lord enters into this material creation, he is not touched by the material energy. And if one is able to understand this, it's such a simple thing. When the Lord says, you know, that jamma karma chamedi vyan iman, what is it? Jamma karma chamedi vyan, how's it go? Evan yoveti tattvataha. That if one understands this simple truth, that his activities and his appearance in this world are divyam, are transcendental, then one doesn't have to come back. Evan yoveti tattvataha. Tyakta deham punar jamma, how's it go then? Naiti man eti suarjuna. That don't have to come back anymore to this material world. One becomes free. So that in itself tells us that this particular point is a key point. When Krishna the chapter is transcendental knowledge, and there's so many things of, you know, the knowledge about the absolute truth that we can talk about it, but Krishna sort of singles this particular point. Simply, if you're able to understand in truth the divinity of his activities and his appearance in this world, you're ready. You can go back home, back to Godhead, and you don't come back again. And here it says that this point can only be understood by someone who is in that, you know, completely purified, fully Krishna conscious. So that's the key point. So why is it so difficult? Well, because the Lord's potencies are unlimited. And to be able to understand the Lord and his unlimited potencies from a perspective that is limited, material consciousness, material conceptions will limit it. With a limit conception, to understand something that is unlimited is an impossibility. Therefore, the energies of the Lord are described as achintya shakti. Achintya means inconceivable. So one has to first accept that the Lord has inconceivable potencies. And inconceivable because with the material limitations, we can, you know, the Lord can manifest himself, can actually be so involved of, and this is a very difficult thing to, this is the main, the very thing that is difficult to understand with the materially contaminated mind, that although everything emanates from him, all the material elements manifest from him, comes from him, although he is very involved, he says himself, everything comes from him, he is not in that. So this whole conception of simultaneously one and different with everything is inconceivable. It's something that, you know, we have no experience of that. So it's an important piece of understanding. And, you know, Lord Chaitanya makes it clear by this Achintya Veda Veda Tattva philosophy that he is presenting, that is a complete understanding and presentation of the absolute truth. And the Acharyas makes it so graphically and nicely put, the explanations, how can we understand how this is, how actually this inconceivable, because this is something that is very wonderful by the Vaishnava Acharyas. They can explain something that is very difficult to understand and is inconceivable in such a way that is, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Jiva Goswami both, they give the example of the sun, how the sun remains completely unaffected. So they give the example. So there is a sun, and by the energy of the sun, there is different things that are created in the sky. One is clouds, another one is darkness, and another one is snow. So these things are created by the sun, by the energy of the sun. So that is created by the sun sometimes appears to cover the sun in a very specific space. Appears to, you know, to our vision. So a cloud may cover the sun to our vision. Snowfall may cover to our vision. Or sometimes a darkness, which is created by the absence of the sun. The sun is always there, but when the sun, when something blocks, you know, the sun, then it's dark. So then these things affect particular rays of the sun. So it is explained like this. Like the living entities are like the rays of the sun. They're contained within the rays of the sun, like all the particles of light. And those rays, they get affected by a cloud or by snowfall. So they may be covered by these things that are created by the sun, but the sun is never covered. The sun is completely unaffected in its place by all these transformations that happens by his energy. So the sun can never be covered in the same way that the Supreme Lord, although these are his potencies, although this through his potencies so many different manifestations comes, then he's always remain unaffected. He's not affected by that. And there are other examples. Well, that like a king is explained. Also, the acharyas give this example. The king can go into a jail, and he is not affected by the rules of the jail, but the prisoners, they are. So there is a difference. Although the king may be staying in the jail or visiting the jail, being inside the jail for some time, it doesn't mean that the king is affected in the same way that the prisoners are affected. The king is not under the rules of the jail. So he can enter like that, but he's not affected by the rules. Similarly, when the Supreme Lord enters the material world, he is not affected by the rules of this material world. So we can understand that very clearly. However, it is not simple to do. Even, you know, as aspiring and, you know, Vaishnavas, it is always very confusing because our point of reference is our experience in this material world. So when we listen to Krishna's human-like pastimes, or, you know, his loving affairs with the gopis, then we have to be careful because our reference is, you know, whatever mundane experience we have on those regards, like that. Or, you know, the experience of Krishna and his parents, or Krishna and his friends, like that. Krishna and his enemies, so-called enemies. You know, Krishna displaying anger, Krishna displaying sadness, like that, or so-called, you know, distress. Then we tend to think, oh, so Krishna is distressed, he's crying. You know, in Dwarka, he was, you know, he was being seen by the queens, you know, lamenting and very distressed, and sometimes even having not being able to sleep properly, thinking on the inhabitants of Vrindavan. You know, so he's very distressed. So one thing, oh, Krishna's distressed, you know, so he must be this, you know, I try to sort of relate it to how I feel distressed myself. Oh, just like also I was distressed, you know, when I was, you know, I was young and I left my home, you know, and then blah, blah, that type of thing, you know. So it's a mistake. Therefore, it's important for us. The principle is that first, that's why we worship. Although, you know, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya is giving us entrance to, you know, Braja Bhakti, to the devotional service in the mood of Vrindavan. That's what Lord Chaitanya came to give us. The acharyas have created a system for us to, in the beginning, you worship like Lakshmi Narayan, with opulence, with awe and reverence. Later, when we come, when it is completely clear to us, here's the personality of Godhead. You know, there's no doubt. You come to understand and you become purified by the practice of bhakti yoga, just as it says here in this verse. Through the practice of bhakti yoga, we're cleansed of all material contamination. Then we can actually naturally move to that type of spontaneous, loving, devotional service in the mood of Vrindavan. So, I was just reading the other day, maybe I'll read it to you because it's such an amazing discussion on the teachings of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He wrote a poem that expresses, you know, how the mood in which we worship the Lord, you know, as, you know, followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. Let me find it here. And then I end with that. The verse is called, it's called Pujala. The verse goes like this, the poem. Matala Hari Jana Visaye Range Pujala Raga Pata Gauraba Bange. So it's called, the usually is described as this Pujala Raga Pata. Pujala Raga Pata. It translates as this: the servants of Hari are engaged in lavish affairs, handling material wealth and engaging all manner of things in the Lord's service. They worship the path of spontaneous devotions with Gaurava Bhange, in the mood of awe and reverence, and show that the Ragapata, or, you know, the spontaneous, is above all, above our heads. They remain as servants, being a little distance and below, praying for that of a servant's duty, not for that of a confidential nature, not to bring that highest divine love down here, but to hold that upon their heads. So the point of coming first to understand Krishna's position, and you know, we see that the position of entering into that divine realm of Braja Bhakti over our heads. We see first we have to have fully the position of being servants, and act, you know, like that. And through that process of sadhana, of practice, then we can qualify to enter like that. So it's not a simple thing to understand. Although it appears, it seems so simple just to understand. Oh yeah, tomorrow we're celebrating Janmashtami, Krishna's appearance. Yeah, it's divine. You know, we have, if I ask, yeah, it's transcendental. It comes out very naturally like that. But it has to be much more profound to be able to fully understand that, you know, in truth. Otherwise, we'll be already in a liberated position. So there's more to it. If you ask me, you know, I'm still also, it's very, you know, what is the depthness of that truth? Obviously, it's not fully clear. How we understand that it's not fully clear? Well, if it's fully clear, then what would be the problem for us to give up everything and just fully surrender to that personality? If it's fully clear that, you know, his position, the position of Krishna, if it's fully clear, then there's no problem. There's no problem. There's no what's the use of all these material little, you know, things that we may be attached to it. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, when he fully realized, you know, fully realized the absolute truth as the Supreme Person, then all these things, even, you know, a kingdom greater than the greatest, it becomes like broken pieces of glass. It's, but once you obtain that, the greatest jewel, everything else is just like a, you know, broken pieces of glass. So so that is this. That's why it's brought so much again and again in their prayers of these great personalities, in Krishna's instructions, in constantly being asked by great. It actually also, I remember, in the questions, it comes in the questions that Vidura asked Maitreya Muni. He also asked like that, how is that, you know, one can understand the Lord's activities more or less, you know, in this material world. So, and Maitreya answers, you know, similar like this. So is there, and it's something that we have to fully come to understand. Important, very important to fully understand. So that's why philosophy, studying the Shastras, understanding the Shastras, which is, you know, something that is mentioned in the verse, that those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, who are fully in knowledge of the authoritative Shastra. So we have, that's why, you know, studying and learning, acquiring transcendental knowledge, what's going to bring us to this position of fully understanding that. Any comment or questions? Back to Jordan Prabhu.
I have like a reflection and a question. Reflecting on what you're just saying, of you can say this is transcendental, like you're speaking about Janmashtami, or like you can say that Krishna is God, and or you think that you understand it, and then like time goes by and you realize you didn't even know what you were saying, or there's so many, you have some experiences, and then you're like, oh my gosh, like this is so much deeper than I thought or than I was thinking at that time. I'm just kind of reflecting on that, and wanted to share that. I have like a question about it, but I don't really know how to form it.
Let's try.
It's not really coming, but that it was just a reflection on that point of how over time your understanding deepens more, and then you say something at one point. You didn't really, from your standpoint now, it seems like you didn't even know what you were saying.
Yeah. I say, in one sense, we have faith on that principle. We come to understand, you know, theoretically. And there are many things that are, you know, that are there that we come to understand, but they're it's not fully mature. So we have to still cleanse or remove things that are blocking that, you know. Like for example, you ask any devotee and you know that Kishore Kishori are, you know, they're the Supreme Personality of God. You feel it. You know, you have that faith. You have, you, each one of us has, you know, an experience. Each one of us has an experience of reciprocation from the deities. Even it's small, but it's sufficient to actually, you know, give you that faith. And at the same time, we're able to neglect them in so many ways. So I'm, you know, acting in such a way, sometimes very impersonally towards them, you know. And so these are discrepancies that we have in our, you know, the understanding and our acting. And the reason is because we're still affected by a strong desire to enjoy in this material world. So that's the thing that we have to, that's the block that we have to clear and remove by the practice of devotion, bhakti yoga, devotional service. That's the cleansing process. So it's almost like, you know, it's like a cloud that is covering the rays of the sun. But we see, you know, that some little rays just come through, but still, you know, and, you know, it sort of start to gradually dissipate and a little more comes in. So we know that this is, we understand the sun is there. We have faith on that. We understand because we see the rays coming. We start to see the rays coming, but we still have that big dark cloud, you know, covering the full manifestation of the sun. So that's a matter of, you know, how you say, we have the part of the whole thing is that we have to be, Srila Rupa Goswami's verse, Nishcharya, we have to be, we have to have patience and determination. But we have to have patience. We have to go on with the process of cleansing ourselves. What we know is there. So it's a natural thing. It's not out there. It's expected. Is that right? Yes. Jai Baladev Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You were mentioning all the material elements are created by the Lord. You were mentioning that point. And in this verse, I just kind of want to have a point of appreciation and then a question. The first line in this verse says that the Lord is independent and he doesn't need help from others.
And you're, what?
The Lord is independent and he doesn't need help from others. And in the material world, that would be nice for us to not need help from others, but that's not the case. And one point of appreciation regarding this point is the point you made is that on YouTube, when Prabhupada gave a class on the Bhagavatam, in the first verse, he actually mentions the same point. He says, although the scientists create a lot of technology, but they forget that the elements in which they use to create this technology is actually already provided by God. They may not accept it as God, but it's provided by nature, so you're still dependent on something. And one other point that I appreciated from Prabhupada, I think is a very important point. I think the lecture is called Scientists Who Created Your Brain. Prabhupada was discussing with one scientist, and he said, you are a scientist and you have a good brain, but you cannot manufacture the brain. But who has manufactured your brain? We are glorifying the brain of the scientist, but we're not glorifying the supreme scientist who has created the brain of the scientist. And I thought that was a good point. So my question is essentially to this point of then thinking ourselves independent. Like at the beginning of class, we're quoting the Sanskrit, but we don't know any Sanskrit. And we're kind of dependent on Prabhupada or whoever translated us, to, like you were mentioning, a point of faith to tell us what this means. And so even when we're little kids, you know, we don't argue with our parents. They tell us A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3. We never say, how do you know this is true? Because we don't have the language to say it. So my question is essentially is that when Prabhupada first came here, the reason they had faith in him is because he cared about them. There's one quote that says, no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. So Prabhupada never started instructing his disciples until they actually had faith in his character. But in a material world, how much faith should we place in, when we're associating, let's say, with a religious organization, how much faith or how much dependence regarding this verse, how much should we depend on God and how much should we depend on devotees? Because it's naturally seen when we're in a community of devotees, everyone's going to have their shortcomings and faults. So the tendency is that, you know, one day somebody's my friend one day, and then the next day they may gossip about me because, or for whatever reason, and then we lose all faith. But that doesn't mean that the process is not bona fide, but we kind of, you know, connect a person's character to the process of a particular religion. So how much faith should we place in, you know, the process, and how much faith should we place in associating with devotees? Because devotees could weaken our faith if they have some shortcoming also. So how does one deal with that dilemma that comes up all the time?
Yeah, in Krishna's program, there is no dilemma. It's very clear, you know, that the main thing that we have to deal with in this material world, the main obstacle, the thing that brings us to the material world, is the desire to be independent. So it's almost like the original cause, you know. I want to enjoy independently from God. So we come in, it's the greatest, most deepest, you know, thing that we have that keep us in this material world, the sense of being independent from Krishna, or the desire to act independently. So the process that Krishna gave us is to train us to accept, you know, to be depending on an authority, to accept. We've been trained, or again, reawakened to the fact that we're happily and always fully dependent on Krishna. It's natural for us, you know. And so the whole process is that. The whole education is on that principle. So Krishna's system is based on that, you know, submission to an authority. And why is so important? Well, because it deals exactly with that brings us, you know, to this material world. And in fact, it's possibly the most difficult thing for us. Well, we can arguably say it's the most difficult thing to give up, your sense of independence. So, I mean, and we come to come to devotional service, we come into the association of devotees, we come to take up the process that Krishna is giving us, devotional service, you know, affected by that, with that, I still want to be independent, you know. So, and that becomes an obstacle in advancing. Also expected, you know, we cannot have false expectations that you just switch, you know, turn the switch and everything is fine. You know, it's all gradual. Part of the gradual purification that we have is that we start to feel more and more comfortable in being fully dependent on the personality of Godhead and whatever He provides for us. You know, like that. That's one of the limbs of surrender. You know, the Lord is my maintainer and my protector. I'm fully dependent. So then the whole education system is like that. You know, when you come into the ashram, the ashram help us, you know, sort of like become or refamiliarize ourselves with being a servant, being a dependent, being accepting and submissive towards authority. And it does it in such a way. Krishna is not, you know, like someone who is leading a whole bunch of slaves, you know. We're not creating here, you know, everybody is like, okay, you do this, you know. It's a, yeah, you know, we don't have that type of thing. is very nicely, very wonderfully, very kindly put together. That takes in consideration, you know, that, you know, we have, it's almost like being treated very conscientiously and nicely, you know, from point, you are in point A, and it's going to take you, you know, to point B in a natural, organic way. Not, you know, like basically breaking you, you know, like an animal or something like that, you know. So the process is pariprasnena seva, yeah. Nityananda Prana was discussing that yesterday. that the submission, but there's also inquiry. So it's not, you know, it's not that you have, you know, you have nothing to say. You know, you can inquire, you can have doubts, but these are, you know, it's a package. Submission, inquiry, and service. These things have to be present like that. So it's a very nice process. It's very nice, it's very joyful too. If you do it, if you accept it, if you take it, it's actually very joyful. And because it's natural for us, it hits into a natural, you know, the essence of a nature, then you start to become comfortable with it. Yeah. The other is very uncomfortable when we, you know, so, and that's when devotees have conflict. You know, you go through different stages of conflict when we insist that we want to be independent. We want to do it our way. We rationalize why I should do it this way. Can you, you know, devotees don't see. You know, they have limitations they don't see. So, you know, so then I'm doing my way. Then it becomes, that's when we experience some, you know, things. Otherwise, it's very, very nice. Jitendra Prabhu.
And when we had the bicentennial in America in 1976, the BTG cover was declaring our dependence on God.
Yeah.
And it showed a devotee, you know, on the cover with the American flag. And it's not that we don't have independence, it's that we misuse our independence.
Right.
And then the next verse, which we'll cover tomorrow, I just kind of jumped ahead, it said that persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this lives, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. But it says agriculture and cow protection are the way to become sinless and thus become attracted to devotional service. So I guess we'll hear more about that tomorrow, but I just thought it was relevant to what we're speaking about today.
Mm.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Yes, Jay. Nitai, Prabhu. Nimai.
Hare Krishna.
Jai, Prabhu.
So, Prabhu, you mentioned how Lord Chaitanya came to give Raja Bhakti process. And how at the beginning you have to practice the devotional practice in awe and reverence, right? So in verse number 8 of Upadeshamrita, Srila Prabhupada quotes a verse from Rupa Goswami. It says, in the transcendental realm of Vraj, one should serve the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna with a feeling similar to that of his associates. And one should place himself under the guidance of a particular associate of Krishna and should follow in his footsteps. This method is applicable both in the stage of sadhana, spiritual practices executed while in the stage of bondage, and in the stage of sadhya, God realization, when one is Siddha Purusha or a perfect soul. And that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has commented as follows upon this verse. one has not one for one who has not yet developed interest in Krishna consciousness should give up all material motives and train his mind by following the progressive regulative principles, namely chanting and remembering Krishna and his name from qualities, pastimes, and so forth. And then he goes on. So in the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This is called Shravanam Kirtan, the stage of hearing. So my question is basically, how do we reconcile? What's the bridge? Because it's said, okay, first you have to, you know, kind of get purified. So what's the bridge? Because it says you can practice that even in the stage of bondage. So
I sort of remember, I have to look better on that, because these are it says a comment that the acharyas give on what's the bridge, because it's a very important thing to understand, because we know this is what Lord Chaitanya has given us, Krishna Prema Prayajit. He comes to give Krishna Prema in the mood of the, you know, Vrindavan. So that's our heritage. That's what we're supposed to. But then, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was very strict even absorbing oneself in the intimate pastimes of, you know, Radha and Krishna. So how you put those two together is, you know, I mean, Prabhupada also discouraged, you know, some of that too, with the, you know, we hear that Gopi Baba club, how Prabhupada just went like really heavy on them. And they were, you know, just reading from the Chaitanya shit, some, you know, it was not even that, you know, heavy, you know. And then, but from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, you know, first deserve, then desire thing. And then I remember reading, I have to look for you and I share it, but the bridge is, you know, through Sankirtan, Jagya, one is a such an intimate sort of type of service that even, you know, in our condition space, you know, we can, the performance of Sankirtan in itself it has the elements of, you know, this spontaneous type of, I'm going into some waters that are beyond my capacity. I actually don't fully understand this, but I remember reading, I can share with you. But there's something that is very clear, at least to me, that I understand, in my level that I understand, is that it will naturally come. We just have to follow, you know, what Srila Prabhupada gave us. And Prabhupada gave us a process that we worship Lord Chaitanya, who is the giver of, you know, Braja Bhakti, through Sankirtan. So through that performance, then we will naturally receive that, you know, as when we ready. Neither Srila Bhaktisiddhanta nor Srila Prabhupada talks or spoke or, you know, gave instructions on this Siddha Pranali stuff and, you know, that all those different things of entering into the mood of a particular inhabiting of Vrindavan. But, you know, he allows to serve the Sankirtan mission, and it was explained that through the Sankirtan mission, devotees who dedicate in life, they actually, you know, obtain went back home, back to Godhead, like that. And there was no, as per him, I mean, as per Srila Prabhupada, personalities like Jayananda, Prabhupada, explain, we can celebrate the disappearance of Jayananda Prabhu, and that was during Prabhupada's time. So the perfection can be achieved. So meaning that things are included there. So I think there's devotees who have written extensively about this, and what is that bridge bar from us worshiping in awe and reverence, and then going to the spontaneous. Because both are, Srila Rupa Goswami explained that both sadhana bhakti has these two elements, the rules and regulations and the spontaneous. And they're like, two leaves. One is the rough, one is the, soft and nice, So one is the under, one is the upper. But they're part of sadhana, so we're still practicing sadhana bhakti, but the elements are there in the system that we've been given. That's my understanding, but it's very limited. I have to accept that, I can't explain or respond this to you with authority because I don't understand it properly myself. I don't know. You have any comment or any thoughts on that?
I was thinking about something. Yeah, definitely can achieve the perfection through Sankirtan, because the holy name is very important. But the thing is, where? Because the spiritual world is a big place. But this, I'm also, kind of, you said, definitely can achieve the perfection, but where?
Well, as we're, if we are engaged in the Sankirtan mission, that's Lord Chaitanya's process. That's what Lord Chaitanya, Jagyai Sankirtana Prayaya. Those who have, in Kali Yuga, worship the personality of Godhead through Sankirtan. That's, we serve in Lord Chaitanya. We go to Lord Chaitanya. We receive from Lord Chaitanya. So what we receive from him? We're not receiving Vaikuntha, we're receiving Krishna Prema. So that's the understanding, at least my understanding. What this whole thing of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that, he wrote this poem, Puja la Raga Pata, that our raga puja is in awe and reverence. That's what he said. And so that means even himself, he was placing himself in that position, And that was basically for the benefit of all of us. Because we're not ready. You have to come to qualify to be able to enter into that space. So how do we enter into that space? Will we ever enter into that space? Yeah. That's the faith that we have in the process that they're giving us. Through what? Sankirtan. We are a mission of Sankirtan. We're serving Lord Chaitanya's mission. So regardless, in what state we are, we're engaged in intimately serving the most magnanimous manifestation of the personality of Godhead. And that's like mind-boggling. How in the world me is doing this? It's quite wonderful. Yeah. That much I can say. All right, we'll stop here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.